Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My name is Omar and this is my story.
So Omar, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am 21 years old. I grew up here in Nottingham in the New Baseford area. And growing up, it was quite rough. Not as rough as other places, but there were drug dealings, fights. In fact, there were stabbings. But alhamdulillah, over time, it did improve. And yeah, so today it's a lot better area.
Tell us a little bit about your family. What background are you?
So my dad, he's from Africa, Zimbabwe. My mom's British, born here. And yeah, my dad is a little bit cultural, but very open-minded. And my mom, I always say that I don't have a culture, and it's kind of the same with my parents as well. I mean, my dad, he has a little bit of his African culture, but mm-hmm. not that much, okay. You know what I mean?
So tell us a little bit about what you were like as a child.
As a child, I was always optimistic, you know, very adventurous, always creative. I love to use my imagination, get along with anyone at all. And even when I was put down, I was always able to ignore it, to brush it off and continue doing whatever I wanted to do. However, I always found that there was something lacking in my life. And
from a young age, you thought
from a young age. And at first I didn't know what it was, because you know, I had all the other elements that a child would want. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, whenever somebody would talk about life and creation, I'd always be fascinated and always accepting towards different people's ideas and beliefs towards them. And I'd want to know more. And I found myself accepting that there is something else out there, even though it's from somebody else's perspective. But I always knew that there was more to life than what we're told or what we see in front of us. Mm.
So, you know, like when you were in school, primary school, secondary school, what type of things were you into as a child?
Me, I was always into, in today's world, I guess you could say games, PlayStation, Xbox, that kind of stuff.
But extreme gaming or just like the normal?
Not extreme gaming. I mean, I couldn't do it for too long, but I didn't like older games. I was more of my adventurous side. So growing up, I loved anime. You know, everyone watched Dragon Ball Z back on TV.
Yeah, of course.
So they're the kind of games that I play as well, you know, Naruto and stuff like that. And that's the kind of personality in a way that I had as well, was very open, very creative, I like to laugh, I like to enjoy stuff, never put anybody down. Yeah, I didn't like being put down. Mm-hmm. And if I was, I'd always try and look past it and see the better in the person.
So what about the kind of people that you used to hang around with at the stage? Because obviously you seem like you were very particular in the things that you used to do. Were your friends like the same? Or?
Yeah, my friends, they were similar to me. Obviously everybody is a little bit different. I would always shy away from the people who I thought weren't going to help me progress as a person. People who were into things that I didn't want to be a part of. I remember, you know, in school, a person was having a conversation with, their friend or whatever about women and how they treat women. To me, I was disgusted. I was like, no, that's not me. And for me, that person isn't somebody I want to associate myself with.
So you had like a strong, how can I put it in the right way? Your attitude towards things was very like demanding. Like if you didn't see something that you like, or you saw someone acting a certain way, you could easily like segregate yourself.
I didn't want anything to do with them. I'd talk to them, you know, like I wouldn't be rude or arrogant or anything like that towards them. I'd talk to them, etc. Anything about help, I'd always help them. But as friends, I wouldn't associate myself with them.
Would you say that was part of your upbringing, or where did you get that kind of way?
Yeah, it's a little bit with my upbringing, but also forging a character over the years as well. I always watched these, you know, what is masculinity, etc. like that. And, you know, TV was different back then. And, you know, because back then we didn't have the phones and that, you know, the tablets, etc. It was more computer and TV back then. So, the TV shows we would watch, because as I was saying before, I was very integrated into anime, etc. It was always the kind of the optimistic hero, you know, the good guy kind of thing. And I always gravitated towards a personality like that, the guy who goes out of his way and tries to respect other people.
But wow, when you come across most young people, they're always more attracted to the bad guy. Like in the environment I grew up in, and most of my friends, you know, when we used to watch the movies and watch these type of games and play these games, we always wanted to be more like the baddie.
Mm. And to personally, I never understood why people do that. I mean, today I have friends who are, you know, into sociology and philosophy and psychology, etc. And I do ask, you know, I have a close friend of mine, I ask them questions. And honestly, Allahu alam, why people are like that. But for me personally, I just hated that type of attitude.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how you was in secondary school. Did you have any goals and ambitions? Was there anything that you saw yourself getting into?
So in secondary school, I met a few people who I got close to. I was interested in music, which was very interesting as well, because in the music industry, you get these people who are, they, you know, they think, they act like the bad man, the big boy kind of stuff. And their lyrics were interesting, but then even with that, never interested me. So I gravitated to more instrumental music.
Okay.
So sitting down, learning programs like Reason and Fruity Loops and stuff like that, producing music as opposed to being an MC or anything, somebody on the microphone talking about whatever.
So you were going down the role of like maybe like being a
DJ producer. I wanted to be a sound engineer and a music producer.
Okay.
At that time, however, in year 9, going into year 10, that's when everything changed as well. In fact, music has a big part of the reason why I became Muslim. And that was because at the time, our teacher, who we all looked up to, was a musician himself. He had announced something about NASA's website. This is 2007, 8, when NASA announced some collision with another planet's gonna crash into Earth. And this is year 9, so what, we were like 14 years old. We were all afraid, like our lives are gonna end, etc. And shortly after that, it was the summer holiday to go into the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we all, me and a group of friends, there was about 6 of us, what we decided to do was go off and do our own research during the summer holidays, and then come back to school and share what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the gateway to accepting Islam.
Yeah, okay. So you said like your teacher was telling you about NASA and stuff, but what made you go from NASA to Islam of all religions? Mm. Why not Christianity, Judaism? Mm. Why didn't you look into something else?
Mm. Growing up, I remember in primary school, a very charismatic vicar, or I don't know how you would, what he would call himself, a vicar or a priest, but a Christian teacher would come into school from a church nearby. And he was funny, he was creative, just all the elements that I was looking for and I was more gravitated towards. Mm. And he started, you know, teaching people about Christianity, but he did it in a way where it's for the youth. You know, it's funny, it's an act.
It was attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very attractive, colourful. So, you know, I actually said, me and my sister, because we were in the same school, we actually turned to our parents and said, we want to go to church. We want to start, I won't say learning about Christianity, but we want to be Christians. At the time, obviously, I didn't know as much about what Christianity is now, was then compared to what it is. The knowledge base of what Christianity, what I thought Christianity was then, is different
to what
now.
You know now.
Yeah, because obviously of the age. Mm. But I was always attracted to religion itself.
And how did your family feel about that?
They were like, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, they were accepted. They took us to church every Sunday. Whenever we wanted to go, join in all the activities, everything, you know, they were supportive in that area. Obviously, they went themselves and started to learn about Christianity.
Because it's not every day, you know, for example, Christian families, a lot of young people, when they grow up in a Christian family, they go to church from a very young age.
Mm.
So for you to be so, you know, in secondary school and be then all of a sudden want to go to the church, didn't your family find that a little bit strange?
Primary school is when we wanted to go to church. They did find it a bit strange, but we explained why. You know, this person had come in, told us a little bit, and he was known in the community as well. So people did know about it, and I said, okay, we'll give it a go. Yeah,
okay, so tell us a little bit of your journey into Christianity.
So my journey into Christianity, to be fair, I saw it more of because of the age as well, I was very young at the time. It was more of, this is fun. You know, it's you're doing something different. There wasn't an aspect, because when people say religion, usually people are put off by it because it's dry, it's boring, it's not something I want to do. I don't want to pray and practice. 100%. You know, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see it like that. I saw it as you're killing two birds with one stone. You're having the fun that you want, and you're also doing something that is slightly different to what you would usually do, meaning you are being religious, although I didn't see it as being religious, if okay. that makes sense.
Okay, so was it more like something, you know, something to do on a day-to-day basis or on a weekly basis? Mm. Did you see the church more like that, like more like an activity, so to speak?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, I was also attracted towards the concept of the creator.
Okay, so after that, where did you go from there?
So after a while, about a year and a half, we were obviously getting older, and we lost the interest in church itself and going and learning about Christianity. So then there was a period of time where I was more agnostic. I was still accepting and always looking into religion, but I wouldn't have called myself a Christian or from any particular religious practice. So got fast tracking to secondary school. I continued that same concept of not really being a religious person, mm-hmm. not really believing anything, until when I was talking about NASA, until that day when it kind of, it rekindled a fire, so to speak. You know, one of our friends was a really religious Christian. He was very, very into his religion of Christianity. And, you know, he was quoting things from the Bible, etc. And so though it was interesting, it was a task at the same time, because it was like, we genuinely believed that the earth was going to end. That was the thing, you know, we thought it's over. We genuinely thought it was over. So when we went home, we straight away, boom, as soon as we got home, we went to any resource we could. Some of us stuck together in twos and threes, and then the other guys kind of went off and did their own thing.
Did your family know about this stuff?
I kind of mentioned it a few times, but they were like, all right. But it was interesting, because we were walking once, and I remember my mother having a conversation talking about Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's predictions and other predictions in the past about the millennium, Earth's gonna end and stuff. Yeah,
them,
yeah,
never forget
and
that.
Stuff like that. So she was saying that, don't worry. Like, she was kind of saying, look, things like this have happened in the past.
Yeah,
you know, don't take it with a pinch of salt, basically. And obviously, looking into it myself, I did find there's a lot of these predictions about the Earth going to end
in the past,
and then that day comes, and it's like, all right, well, what are we going to do tomorrow?
I swear I even saw on the news that there were some people somewhere in France or somewhere like that, then they all gathered around some mountain or something like that.
I think the last one was 2012. I don't know if there was one after that. I just lost interest in these. Obviously, in Islam, we know that Allah has talked about people doing things like this. The Prophet Muhammad has talked about people doing things like this. Mm. And, you know, only Allah knows when the last day is. And there are signs when the last day is going to come about. But there are people who have done this as well. So in our research, we started to come across some crazy concepts. We come across somebody called David Icke.
Tell us about him.
David Icke, he's an interesting individual, to say the least. He was kind of the first introduction towards what we know as the Illuminati.
Okay.
So he was very extreme in his view of the Illuminati. And to be fair, I was naive. So I was actually, I don't know, that it was like, oh, you know, he's given this evidence and that, so it must be true. So it got to a point where I genuinely believed that the government are reptilians in human skin. Like, they are shape-shifting aliens that come and sacrifice.
Reading the stuff, watching the stuff?
I watched some of the documentaries. I think the big ones are Zeitgeist. I forgot what it was called. There's a massive documentary. I mean, it's
deep,
deep, deep documentary. It's like 40 different chapters and then it's an hour each.
Whoa.
The Arrivals. Yeah, that's what it's like. That's The Arrivals. I used to watch that, and then The Revivals came out, or, and you know, as so I started learning them, though there was a lot of things that were wrong and just didn't make sense, and it, you know, that's just not how things are. There were a lot of things that did make sense and that were real.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things were music. And obviously being interested in music, I was like, what's this music industry? And yeah, I could go into the details of the Illuminati and Freemasons and stuff like this. But later on, as a Muslim, I come across Napoleon, who became Muslim. And, you know, because some people have doubts that Masons exist, Illuminati exist, and jinns and devils and worship and stuff like that. And so we came to Nottingham once, and Swan asked him the question of, is it real? In the music industry, do you guys sell your souls to the jinn? And he said, yeah. It's a very common practice within them in the world of entertainment for celebrities to do what's called a soul contract with the jinn, with the shayateen. Mm. Now, going back to in my younger days when I was learning about this stuff, we were coming across it, for example, there was Eminem, Dr. Dre, you know, Jay-Z, all these people, and they would, I remember a video of like Eminem hallucinating, whether he was on drugs or whether it was, you know, he was mentally ill, whatever the case, there's some of the stuff that they were coming out with wasn't normal. It's not what you see in the music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very confusing. It was very interesting. And then in these documentaries, they were talking about how music, subliminal messages and all these things control you. They start to manipulate you.
And there's no doubt.
Getting into, yeah.
When you listen to music, there's no shadow of a doubt. It absolutely affects the way you think, the way you act, the way people dress. It messes up your whole psyche. Mm.
Absolutely. And so what, you know, I was saying, well, I got to a point where I was like, all right, I know this, movies are bad, music's bad, the media, magazines, etc. These things are all trying to get me to do what they want me. They're trying to manipulate me. All right, cool. I just won't do it. But then I was also limiting myself, because what you're finding is that Islam crops up a lot, and then 9/11 happens, right?
Yeah.
So 9/11, Muslims, this,
big dilemma,
that.
Big dilemma.
And yeah, and so that was another massive point, along with the Afghanistan and Iraq war. These are huge hurdles that you have to come over when you look into conspiracy, basically.
Yeah.
Why is it that we're told that Muslims are nothing to be feared? They're, you know, they live in these desert countries. They, you know, they don't have anything going for them, yet they are such a threat. That didn't make sense to me. So through my learning of conspiracy, Illuminati, Mason, Freemasons, etc., I started to look into why the media doesn't like Islam. And then the answers started to come when there, for example, the Prophet Muhammad talks about things that will happen in the future.
Yeah.
And so I said, if this Prophet Muhammad, he is a, you know, he's a peaceful guy, people like him, you know, even non-Muslims, they like his character, they like his examples. And Muslims follow that example. Why is it that Muslims are portrayed in such a negative way? That didn't make any sense. So my friend, he became Muslim. And wallahi, as soon as he said, I'm Muslim, I'm becoming Muslim, my heart switched. It said, it's like my heart told me, that's what I'm gonna do. That's what I need to do. I didn't even know the, at that point, I didn't really know what the basics of Islam were, what Muslims believed in. However, for some reason, I just knew that's what I needed to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember countless conversations that my friend would give me, basically giving me dawah.
Yeah.
And I would say, I'll become Muslim, but not yet. And I'd walk away, wallahi, I'd walk away in tears, because I knew in my heart that's what I needed to do. That's what, it was like somebody had planted a seed and the tree had grown and the branches were trying to come out.
You know, when your friend became a Muslim, did you see anything different in him when he came to Islam?
Absolutely. His character changed, the way he went about him changed. His friends changed, and actually we were best friends. We were as close, the closest friend I've ever had. But he tried with me, but I made it difficult for him at the same time. So yeah, there was some distance in there as well, which is neither here or there. I'm not gonna, you know, say, oh, I wish it was different or anything. It happens. Yeah. And it happens to everyone. But he, alhamdulillah, he did try. And alhamdulillah, he was, Allah had given him the ability to be successful, because I'm sitting here as a Muslim today. Mm-hmm. Through one of the ways that I found Islam was him giving me da'wah.
So tell us the point when you actually accepted Islam.
So it was in 2010. I was just about to, I just finished school, about to move into college. And we were sitting down at a restaurant and, you know, we're just chilling and talking, etc. And then I kind of just looked at the table and I said, you know what, I'm going to become Muslim. Just like that. And he was like, oh, really? Now? Like, I was like, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The brothers here in Nottingham, alhamdulillah, they have a da'wah table, a weekly da'wah table. So Bilal invited me to go to the da'wah table. So I went with him, and Brother Haroon, he just asked me straight up, do you believe in God? I said, yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in one God? I said, I believe in one creator. And then he asked me, do you believe in the Prophet Muhammad? And I said, I do. I 100% I believe in Prophet Muhammad. And then he said something that was quite, no one had said this to me before, so it was strange, it was shocking. It was like, what? He said, basically, you're a Muslim. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm not a Muslim. But he said, you believe in exactly what Muslims believe in. It's just you haven't taken your shahada, you haven't confirmed it. What are you waiting? He basically asked me, what am I waiting for? And I was, it was like someone had clicked on the light and put me on the spotlight. I was like, what am I waiting
pressure
for? Yeah. And I was like, so he's like, why don't you take the shahada? I was like, oh. And I it was like, I was just ready for it. But for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe it was shaitan or just my own desires, whatever it was, I didn't take that step. And so I just said, oh, wait. And I walked away.
Again.
I walked away and I went around just like a few steps, like maybe 6 or 7 steps around the corner. And I said, nope, this is what I want to do. It's what I've been wanting to do for ages now. So I turned right back around and I said, I'm ready to accept Islam. I took my shahada there and then. Alhamdulillah.
So tell us, has being a Muslim changed you in any way?
Yes, absolutely. The practices that I have, the morals and belief that I have, it's, you know, I remember somebody saying, how can you practice Islam? Like, it's very difficult. I don't see it like that. I see it as, it's a relief for me. It's a thing that, you know, tracking back to when I was in school, there was a lot of pressure. I remember like the big V, losing your virginity was such like a, for teenage boys, it's such a big thing. Putting all this pressure onto you, or to smoke your first cigarette, or to drink your first pint. Islam comes as a relief that you don't have to do those things. You don't have to do that. You can, all right, you do it and then what? How does that make you a better person? It just, you know, I'm not saying it's going to make you a less of a person, but how is it going to make you any better? And your world starts to evolve around all these social pressures.
It's true, and it's like Islam.
Islam just
opens up the door. Yeah, to it does. Yourself.
Islam puts its arm around your shoulder and says, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to do any of this," and you are happy, even though in the short time, because let's face it, desires are, they're flashy, they're in your face, they're like, I want to do that, I want this, I want to grab it, I want to experience. But then comes all the negativity afterwards, as opposed to you being patient. It's difficult at the beginning, but then how much happiness and joy and success do you have afterwards?
Wow.
You know, the comparison is, it's funny, but, and Islam comes and Islam molds a person. When you practice Islam, it molds you. So it becomes second nature. The things you do in your life, you know, it's not, all right, what time am I going to meet my friend? It's more of, oh, I'm going to pray first, and what time, where am I going to pray? Is there a prayer facility and stuff? So it starts to change you, and it doesn't become bad. It doesn't become a pressure. It becomes, that's you. That's your personality. That's how you live your life. And you know what? You're happy doing it.
Smile.
You're very happy doing it.
What advice have you got to non-Muslims who may have seen Islam in the bad media? What would you say to them in regards to Islam?
The advice I give to somebody who is not Muslim and looking into Islam, or not even looking into Islam, but they are wondering what else is out there for them to discover, what else in life is on offer for them. Yes, I would advise you to look into Islam. Why? Because the things that people are faced with today are answered in Islam. What do I mean by that? For example, people ask the question of, especially in their early to mid-20s, is usually the time frame when people ask, who am I? What am I doing? What do I want out of life? Where am I going to go in 10 years, etc.? Islam gives you the answer for that in day one. You are here, created by Allah, by the Creator. Why? To worship Him. Worship means doesn't just mean pray. It just means learning about the religion that Allah has given you and trying to practice that to your best capability. So look into Islam. See what it has to offer for you. If it has nothing to offer for you, I wish you all the best. You know, inshallah, I hope you find your way. But if it does and you become Muslim, welcome to Islam. See what it has to offer you, inshallah. And I'd just like to say Jazakallah khair to Roadside to Islam and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.